chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys for tuning in. And welcome to the show. We got a bunch of news to go over tonight. Make sure you check out our website, theantimedia.org, and follow and share our content as often as you can on all the social networks. Also, make sure you check out Ponder and XL. They're the awesome music group that hooked up our intro and outro music. I know SM is going with some new music on Tuesday and Thursdays, but we still have Ponder and XL here, and they're really good friends of ours. Make some awesome music with a good message. So make sure you support that, because you know we're all about supporting independent media, and that's really what this show is all about. And especially tonight, we're gonna have Patty calling in, PM Beers from Los Angeles, and she's one of our team members here at the Anti-Media. She's gonna be calling in a little bit later. We were supposed to have her on Monday, but she couldn't make it. But she's gonna call in tonight to talk about, you know, the crime of being a journalist and what it's becoming here in this police state USA, because that's really what's starting to happen. I mean, we've seen these recent
just a journalist, an activist, right?
Yeah, and an activist too. You know, we've seen a lot of these recent internet cases, Silk Road case, and the recent one with Ross Ulbricht and all that stuff, Silk Road and Pirate Bay, and all these legal things that are going on. And keep in mind, these are like disruptive technologies, disruptive ideas, and they're being crushed. And live streaming for a long time has been a very big tool for activists and for journalists alike to combat the corporate media, to actually get some video out there with a lot less overhead, a lot less infrastructure needed to actually go out there and record live. Because, you know, if you look at the average like corporate news crew and the equipment they have, I mean, when they want to go broadcast live, they have to have that whole van that they drive around with them with that antenna on the top, and then the, you know, like a $30,000 camera and all sure. all this equipment just to do a broadcast. And you know, for us,
dinosaur tech.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for people like PM Beers, they're changing the game, because they're able to do a lot of those same functions with having just a phone. You know, and anybody can pick it up. Anybody can pick up their phone, download a live streaming app, and start broadcasting news. Anyway, I forgot to introduce you, but obviously, I'm joined by my co-host DB Schwartz. We're also joined on the line now by Manny as well from Los Angeles. I think he's still in San Diego. How's it going, Manny?
What's up, Nick? How are you doing? And, you know, just, you know, really ready for a good show tonight and stuff like that. And just right now, as a comment, just you know, so that we can get the show going. Mocha Brother right now. Valentine's Day, Mocha Brother, 25 years vegetarian, Saturday, Valentine's Day. So that's my big 25th for vegetarianism, okay? So continue, carry on.
Hey, that's good, man. I'm glad you've been able to do it for so long. I don't think I'd ever be able to go fully vegetarian.
Or for the rest of us. Thanks, Manny.
What's up, BB? <baby? laughs>
So yeah, before Patty comes on, we want to get into some of this news because there, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, one of the biggest stories right now that's trending is this Obama authorization of war that he is proposing to Congress. And let's be real, the only criticism coming from Congress is that it doesn't go far enough.
So he declared war on Syria in a roundabout way. So I hope everybody realizes we just kind of, in a way, de facto declared war on Russia, really.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it definitely does up the ante when it comes to this Russia-U.S. conflict. I wanted to go into just a few of the details about what Obama is trying to do. And apparently he only wants to have this authorization go for 3 years, so the next president would have to reauthorize it. And, you know, the thing is that the next president is probably going to be a Republican. So, you know, chances are that, I mean, even if it was a Democrat, they're going to reauthorize this thing. The other thing to me that was really scary, and, you know, the whole, you know, Obama came out swinging saying that he's, you know, this isn't going to put troops on the ground and all this stuff. That tells you right away that that's probably what it's going to do.
They're already.
Yeah, they're already
contractors.
There. They're already there, and as you were telling me earlier, DB, I mean, this authorization has loopholes that can add a lot more troops into the mix.
Well, it's going to be a classic flank by design. I mean, you're going to have now our private contractors with our elite forces slipping across the Iraqi border and basically backstabbing Assad, hitting all his infrastructure while, you know, ISIL or whatever wreaks havoc, and it's just going to – they're trying to get him – they're trying to basically get him to step down and install their own puppet. And that would, you know, inherently weaken Iran, who becomes next. And you remember the McChrystal interview where he said, we're going to have 7 countries we're going to go into. Well, they neglected to tell you, you know, the final two are Russia and then China, right? I mean, this is always this big chessboard that they're playing with. And I think we're overstretched, man. And that's a scary thing because me and you have never lived in a time when our military has been overstretched ever.
Yeah, and this also coincides with what's going on in Ukraine. And keep in mind that there's quote-unquote peace talks going on right now over in Belarus, which is a country there in Eastern Europe. But, you know, if you look at what's come out of these peace talks before, there's really been nothing good that's come out of them. And now they're saying 50,000 or more people have died in Ukraine as a result of this civil war. And both Russia and the U.S., NATO, have been turning it into a proxy war. So a bunch of these people are dying over there.
And how many Ukrainian men have defected? Because I've heard as upwards of over 100,000 to as high as 1 million guys just retreating into Russia so they don't have to fight. Because they know they're just hopelessly outgunned. So it's just like cannon fodder. They don't want to be those guys that just die for nothing.
Yeah, and another little known fact is that the Western-backed Ukrainian government in Kiev has already instituted a draft. You know what I mean? So they're already drafting people, drafting men to go fight, and they're, you know, kidnapping whole buses full of young men and just conscripting people. But of course you're not going to hear about that on CBS or Fox News or any of that stuff because they want us to think that Russia is the bad guy. But, you made a good point about us being stretched because not only is Obama sitting here trying to authorize this new initiative against ISIS, and who knows how many billions of dollars this you know, is going to cost. But, you know, they're also talking about putting arms into the Ukrainian, government, hands as well. And so that's another, a whole nother, you know, marketplace for our arms and stuff. But we got to keep in mind that this is all adding up to a bigger, a larger geographical battle between these two, you know, what are left of what used to be superpowers.
Right. If we do arm Ukraine, I mean, Putin pretty much flat out said he'd declare war, and they'll use whatever means necessary, and you know how that's going to escalate. So, I mean, if we're trying to go in on two fronts at the same time and drag all our military away from the U.S., that's pretty fishy to me, man.
Yeah, exactly, man. This is something that this geopolitical chess match is something that has to be reeled in right away, because these governments are putting the whole world at risk with their fiddling and their meddling. And, you know, this resource-based political chess match that's going on over there, man, it's got a lot of collateral damage. We already see them in Syria, hundreds of thousands. Now the U.S. is, you know, now that Obama's trying to put forward this authorization of war, it's going to be pretty, I don't know. I think I can see the situation escalating a lot over there in Iraq. And it's once again going to be one of these ignorant foreign policy mistakes. And, you know, all of us, of course, once again, are going to be on the hook for it. It's going to create more, you know, more and more terrorists are going to go to Syria to go fight because they think they're fighting against the U.S. And, I mean, it's going to be just another bad situation, of course, once again, in the Middle East. And we're definitely partially to blame for it.
Yep. And the ultimate goal, really, honestly, is just, if we get into a thing with Russia, they'll have some kind of conscription here too, and then it'll fix the economy, right?
These guys have this idea that they can fix the economy with the military-industrial complex. You know, it's like that whole post-World War II economy. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we can't really do that anymore because too many people suffer when we have a system based on militarism, you know, and yeah, it might have a bunch of good jobs over here, but a bunch of people are gonna be dying elsewhere, you know, and so that's not a just way of doing economics. But someone needs to tell these guys in the government about that, because I don't think they realize that. You know, the money blinds them, and all these guys are just fallible, frail people, mostly men, that are easily manipulated, man. There's been a lot of studies that show that you can manipulate even the highest ranking general using certain tactics, and these guys are very good at that stuff. They've turned it into a science. That's what they do. That's what the CIA and the NSA, you know, that's what it's all about, is preserving the status quo and keeping everybody in line, making sure there's no whistleblowers, and if they do, they get, you know, threatened or they get worse, you know. And that's you know, part of our own domestic stuff, and it's all war, supposedly stuff to keep us from going to war. Or, you know, I don't, what is the role of the CIA? I mean, are they supposed to keep us out of wars? Are they supposed to keep us safe? I mean,
They're a private corporation, which should just tell you everything you need to know, Nick. Who do they report to, and where does the information go? I mean, it's not going to us. We're not getting privy to these intelligence reports. We're not being told what they're doing to make us safe and what operations were successful and so on and so forth. So we have no idea. So we can just assume they're just like a political hit squad, man, for whoever's in power at the time.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, the other thing that's really scary to me, the really dangerous thing about Obama's authorization, and I was reading some other articles about how, you know, it went back and forth because they were like, oh, well, we don't want to restrict us geographically. We can't just say we're going to be able to bomb Iraq and Syria. We want to leave the door open to where we can say, well, any country that has ISIS, even if it's Indonesia, for all we know, ISIS is all of a sudden in Indonesia. Okay, send in the drones. So, you know, this is what this authorization is trying to do. And I'm sure there's going to be some resistance from maybe the progressive wing and then the Tea Party wing of the government. But, you know, it's going to be too small to make a difference, and in many ways, it's probably just superficial.
It has a double value too, Nick, because with the so-called spread of radical Islam going into Indonesia and now into the Philippines, they can use that as an excuse anytime to kind of like box China in. You see how they play a lot long game too here. So there's a lot of different reasons for why they do things. You have to look on multiple levels, and it gets kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen next. But all I know is that we shouldn't be giving the executive this much power. I mean, if anybody has learned anything from history at all when it comes to government, I mean, the whole thing when the U.S. was created was against the monarchy. Yeah, they had some flawed ideas, but they were trying to get out of a monarchy. Unfortunately, it kind of morphed back into a monarchy now. If we see Jeb Bush,
well, you can't
and
beat
Hillary
the
Clinton.
Bankers, Nick. I mean, how can you? They print the money out of thin air. I mean, this is where I'm starting to think, like, you know, I don't know if this is a good segue into PM Beers, but all these people that are getting nabbed, like Gestapo style, and not having charges and then being released, they're all suing, right? And they're all winning under their imprisonment being unconstitutional. Is it just that these fools don't even care anymore because they'll just print the money up?
I don't know. That's a good question, man. And PM isn't calling in yet, but there is one thing I wanted to go into real quick, because this was really swept under the rug, and it's worth looking back because we're basically going into the same situation right now. There was there's a website called Voices of Liberty, and they got a hold of some leaked tapes from former Congressman Dennis Kucinich's office. And these tapes were conversations with Muammar Gaddafi's son. And this was right before the U.S. went and started dropping bombs in Libya. But according to this tape, they're basically saying that all these supposed atrocities that people were saying happened in Libya, and the media was saying, and Gaddafi was killing all these people and all that stuff. I mean, according to these tapes, all that stuff was made up. And the guy even said it. Gaddafi's son even said it. He's like, man, it's like the WMD. It's like it's a false report. It's not true. But we all know that the whole Gaddafi thing was basically just another one of these geopolitical overthrows, regime change, right? Because, you know, if Gaddafi is such a bad guy, then obviously these other people that do these atrocities are also bad guys. But, you know, if that were the case, we'd be invading Saudi Arabia, overthrowing their government, and we'd be bombing Israel and, you know, telling them to stop oppressing people. But that's just not the case, you know. And so we don't go into countries because of humanitarian reasons anymore. There was a study that we covered on the anti-media a couple weeks ago about how oil-rich countries tend to get invaded a lot, and they tend to have a lot of foreign-backed civil wars and stuff like that. In fact, a country that's rich in natural resources is 100 times more likely to have foreign intervention in its country militarily.
Venezuela.
Yeah, Venezuela, you're next. So, you know, this is what happened in Libya, and now this is what is going on with ISIS, and I know we talk about this a lot. But we can't forget that Obama was calling ISIS the JV team, and that it wasn't until ISIS started surrounding Erbil, which is an oil distribution hub, when all of a sudden the world is ending and it's like, oh my God, we got to stop these guys. They are the devil. You know what I mean? And so.
Oh my God, the pipeline, no.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to keep in mind that now that we're escalating this thing in Syria, it's most likely about resources once again. And we've talked about this. We've touched on it a few times about how they want to build the pipeline that goes through Syria into Europe, cut Russia out of the equation. That's, you know, the very same reason why they're toying with Russia over in Ukraine. It's a resource game and it's a business game. And unfortunately, they use government forces and they use bombs to make business, and that's not the right way of doing things. We do have a caller on from 805 area code. How's it going? You're on the anti-media. What do you want to talk about?
Hey now.
Hey, is that Patty?
Mm-hmm.
Hey Patty. So PM Beers is joining us. She's our awesome Twitter manager and journalist at the anti-media, and I'm sure many of you listening have heard the story, but Patty got in trouble in Fullerton back in 2014, right? Or was that 2013?
It was January 14.
Yeah, so she got in trouble last year at a protest for Kelly Thomas. And those that aren't aware with what happened to Kelly Thomas, he was the man that was beaten to death by the Fullerton police, and he had mental illness. And there was video of what happened, and he was begging for his life, and they just continued stomping him in. And I mean, they even were talking about it. Anyway, of course, the public was outraged, and there was a bunch of protests. And then a lot of people, just very similarly to what happened in Ferguson, a lot of people had expected that those cops were going to be held accountable. Now, unfortunately, the cops were let off the hook, and that's what sparked even bigger protests. And that's kind of where this whole story starts with PM Beers and how she is now facing up to 6 months in jail for simply recording these protests. So, Patty, if you want to just go into that a little bit about how this all started, and then we can go from there.
Okay, yeah, so there was the protest against the violence of the cops, and then there were 15 of us arrested in total. There were 14 of us arrested that day, and then, like, 6 months later, we went all the way to Pasadena to get another live streamer, AJ, from Inley Press. So they spent a whole bunch of money to go and do that when AJ's usually important. There were 11 of us charged with failure to disperse, and the other four, one of them was pushed by the CBS camera lady, and she slapped her, and she took a plea deal, and she served a week in jail. And then one of the guys very proudly spray-painted an anarchy symbol on the side of the police station, and he was sentenced, I think, to 6 months, and he served, like, 3 months in jail. And then there was another guy who was charged with some vandalism, I think a felony vandalism, and he did a plea deal, and he's on probation now. And then last week, someone had done some type of vandalism on the sidebar, or allegedly, I don't know, he didn't say he did it or not. But he took it to trial, and he was found guilty last week because the cops had video everywhere. There's so much video. There was a cop in a car that videotaped that incident. So he took it to trial, and he's going to be sentenced this week, and they want to sentence him to a year. So property is definitely worth more than lives in Orange County, I guess, because he's getting a year for some property. And alleged someone told me that they cleaned it up, so there wasn't even any damage on the slide bar. And the slide bar is the business that called the cops on Kelly Thomas. So this is why this person was so upset with this this business in Fullerton.
So a lot of the people have already been sentenced, and to me, I mean, it sounds like some pretty serious sentencing.
Yeah, and the way that they stack the trials, they do the trials one by one. So they've already, like, established that there was vandalism, and there was the slapping of the CBS lady. So that's already been established. These people have already been found guilty, and they're all either have served time or are serving time now. And they've all served more time than the cops who actually killed Kelly Thomas. The way that they're stacking the trials is strategic on the part of the district attorney, giving them the advantage. So there's 11 of us charged with failure to disperse, and they were going to try us all together in one group. But they split us into two groups. So there's a group of four that's going, our trial is starting on the 23rd, and then the rest, their trial starts when ours is finished. So if they can get us convicted, it will be a lot easier to get the others convicted. So they kind of stacked it so that the easiest ones to convict are going first.
Wow. I mean,
because a lot of the other cases are just totally vague. But my group that I'm in, we're considered the leaders, which, if you have ever seen me in person at a protest, you know, is, like, totally ridiculous. And there's also a lot of talk about violence from the police. Like, they're saying that the protest was violent, when the only people violent that day were the cops.
Yeah, and that's typically what normally happens. I mean, the cops are typically the ones that agitate the crowd to the point where...
The CBS reporter was violent with Jordan, the one who pushed Jordan, Jordan slapped her. And then there was an ABC reporter who shoved me. So it was the cops and the media getting violent that day.
Tell us about your quote-unquote crime, because I know, I mean, you are a well-known journalist, you're a well-known live streamer. I mean, out of all of Southern California, I don't know of anyone that's has more views than you do, but you know you're a journalist and you're out there covering this protest. So these cops are charging you with some kind of failure to disperse, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's pretty close to inciting a riot, right? But I mean, isn't there such thing as freedom of speech? Like, do you think that this is an infringement on freedom of speech, or do you think it's something else?
I think definitely there's a lot of First Amendment issues in my particular case and AJ's case. Because AJ and I are both activists and journalists, which Glenn Greenwald and other people have said that journalism is activism. And we're very biased, and I think all journalism is very biased, but we're very honest about it. So, but as far as, yeah, it's kind of the whole, like, act of protesting has become criminalized. And the act of telling the truth has become criminalized. And it's crazy.
I mean, to me, it's like there's this war going on against journalism. And we talked about it. In our last show as well. But it also ties in with these guys we talked about at the beginning, these cyber entrepreneurs, Silk Road, you know, Ross Ulbricht and all these guys. All those torrent sites that keep getting taken down, the Pirate Bay, the journalist, what's his name, James Risen or something, that they were threatening him with jail time if he didn't give up his sources. And then, of course, you got Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden. The trend to me is something, you know, overall where they're just trying to bully the press. They're trying to bully any dissenting voices down to the point where they're so scared to speak out. I mean, if they're able to arrest you for being out there live streaming, you know, I mean, it's a really scary prospect as far as the direction that we're going.
But they wouldn't, PM, they wouldn't dare do that to the corporate media people there, right? They wouldn't touch them. And
I know.
The organization.
No, because the corporate media, they go to the public information officer, ask him what the story is, and that's what they report. And I've caught them lying so many times.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, that's not uncommon. I mean, that happens all the time, and it happens from the AP too. I mean, the Associated Press is probably the biggest media organization in the country. They take a lot of their talking points right from the government as well. And that was one of the things that John Stewart actually made a great point on in his criticism of the coverage of the Brian Williams lies and all that stuff. Because, you know, he was basically saying, yeah, man, you got the press is just taking their orders right from the administration, you know, and
him too.
And then also the cops try to come after live streamers because it's easier to prosecute them. So the same thing is happening in Ferguson, where the cops are calling the live streamers the leaders, which is ridiculous, because you can't live stream and lead at the same time. I don't know, maybe somebody can, but I've never seen it done. But they call the live streamers leaders. They say that the live streamers are inciting riots, inciting violence, which me personally, I'm totally against leaders, and I would never tell someone to do. And there's actually a point that was brought up in the police report that says that I did not defuse the situation, because I said when there was a point in the protest when people wanted to go and block the freeway, and a lot of people were saying no, don't do that. There was a big dispute for like 40 minutes. Should we go on the freeway or not? And then I said really loudly, if you want to go on the freeway, go. If you don't, don't. So basically, because I said that, they're calling me, they're saying that I didn't defuse the situation as if, as a journalist, that was my job.
That's totally bogus. I mean, your job is to observe and report what's going on.
They also said, I was wearing a hat that said the word press on it. I don't wear a press pass because I just think that's, press passes are like, the Constitution says I have the right of freedom of the press. Why should I? I don't need a little card that I can print out at Kinko's. I'm on the phone, Katie. I don't need a card that I can print out at Kinko's to prove that I'm press, because that's my right. I can do that. So I had this hat that said the word press on it, just because I knew that I wasn't going to know a lot of people at this protest. So I just wanted people to know, like, hey, I'm filming you. Like, so, you know, to let people, you know, I was wearing this hat, right? So in the police report, it says I had a hat that had the word press on it that was used to deceive people into thinking that it was press.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe that. Yeah, I know. I've seen you wearing your press hat before. In fact, the picture that we got from the protest, you were wearing it. And yeah, I mean, it's clear to see that you're part of the press. I mean, you're live streaming. And I think the other thing that you mentioned is completely bogus. The fact that they're trying to say the live streamers are the leaders so that they can go and charge them with the crimes and stuff. I mean, that's totally,
as leading is a crime.
I mean, that's completely a targeting of the press, and that goes against everything that this Constitution that we supposedly have is supposed to stand for. You know what I mean?
Are you able to get that video footage of what was going on through Freedom of Information to kind of build your case as far as what you're doing? Like, you weren't really getting in the way of anything. You were just documenting.
So my lawyers will have whatever they're using in the case, but I don't know how it works as far as if you or I wanted to get it, I don't know how to do that, but there's a lot of video.
Yeah. And you also had you were rolling live most of the time too, when you were getting arrested. And
yeah,
as far as I could tell from the video, there wasn't even people around that much. I mean, you guys weren't in a riot. You weren't I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, at the time of the arrest, it's even on the video, my ride was standing next to me, and he said, hey, should we leave? And I'm like, I don't know, it's not over. And, like, from that day on, like, if he was my ride and he said, should we leave, I would just leave after that, because, like, had I left at that moment, maybe I wouldn't have gotten arrested. I don't know, but, yeah, I mean, the protest was pretty much over. People were just kind of socializing. It was kind of time to go. And
hey, Benel, sister, ¿qué pasa? ¿Cómo estás? Hope everything's okay other than everything, you know, that's happening to
Hi,
you.
Hi, Manny.
Hey, I really felt bad about basically thinking about what's happening to you, your son, you know, basically, and felt like that. But, you know, the bottom line with you, PM Beers, is this. You're being too effective, and you're just completely exposing the cops too much, and you become a threat to them. And that's why they're doing this just to you. And I hope that you prevail, because, I mean, it's just, I was blown away. I was blown away, seriously. And it's just like, you're doing some good stuff for, you know, freedom of the press and to let people know the injustice that's happening out there. And then they target you to do, you know, for this and stuff like that. And I'm really, you know, kind of really not happy about that and stuff like that. But I want to send some blessings out to you and your son, and that, you know, justice prevails, okay?
Thank you.
PM, let them know where they can donate, because I just put in my $20 for your legal fund. So let people know where they can donate.
You know what? I'll tweet the link on my Twitter. My Twitter handle is PM Beers. And I'll tweet it in a couple minutes.
Cool. We'll post the article with all the information as well on the Anti-Media Facebook page. So anyone listening that feels compelled to help Patty, especially if you're in Southern California, we need support down at the courthouse as well. I'm gonna post the article on the Anti-Media page and also on Twitter, so that anyone listening that wants to support Patty to, you know, fight this off, because this is a complete bogus charge. I mean, this is a complete assault on the press. So the other part of this, as I just mentioned, is the court support. Can you let everyone know that's listening what we can do to help you out other than donating to help your cause?
Okay, so if people want to come to the court and sit quietly in the court, the more people who come and sit in the court, the more the judge and the jury are going to see that a lot of people are taking this seriously. So, you know, people have told me that that really makes an impact on the trial, that, you know, people people care, you know. So that's awesome if people are around Fullerton. It's going to go for like 2 weeks. So, I mean, if you have work on one day, maybe you can come by for a little while another day.
So the location of the courthouse is called the North Justice Center in Fullerton, California. And then the trial is supposed to start on February 23rd at 9 in the morning, and then it should last about a week. So we'll need people out there every day for a week.
Pack the courthouse.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we got to do, because we can't let this stand. And, you know, the thing to me, the thing for me that really is like the biggest slap in the face with this whole everything that's going on with Kelly Thomas Fullerton is that these cops on video got away with pummeling a mentally challenged man to death, and they walked away free. And now the people that actually are out there standing up for justice saying, what in the hell is going on? Why are these guys getting away with murder? These are the people that are going to end up in that are likely going to end up in jail. I mean, this is the biggest slap in the face to me that I've ever seen. And that to me is why is what I think should get people to get out there and support Patty and the rest of the Fullerton people that are going to be up there at trial, because this is a huge act of injustice. I mean, this just flies in the face of justice completely. So hopefully people can get out there and, you know, support freedom, man, because that's what it's all about, and justice, because we still need to be out there trying to get justice for Kelly Thomas, because justice still hasn't been served. Now, Patty, just before you go, if you want to give the audience a way to find out where you find all your work, besides at the Anti-Media, you have your own live stream account, and I know you work with a bunch of other people online on social media. If you want to quickly just let everyone know how to find you, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I have a Ustream account, ustream.tv/channel/PNBeers. And then I also have YouTube PNBeers, Twitter PNBeers, and I'm on Facebook, p.n.beers.
Awesome. Well, I hope that I hope people support. I'm looking at the fundraiser right now, and it's like at $1,100, and that's this.
Yay.
This morning when I checked, it was at like $760, so that's good. I mean, we got some donations, and that'll definitely help out getting your lawyer more money so that he can, you know, do more work as far as help making sure that you remain free. And let's hope that you don't have to go behind bars and have to deal with this system because, you know, it's horrible in there.
Is there no celebrity lawyer that's willing to make a name for themselves? What the hell?
Well, yeah, do you want to maybe you can go over your lawyers and stuff, because I know I've heard a lot about the Lawyers Guild and stuff, and they're really cool people. And maybe you can go into this for people in the future that may end up in a similar situation, because I know a lot of people that listen are cop blockers, and they're out there and they're putting their freedom on the line as well all the time. Maybe you can give us just a quick little bit of advice about, you know, how to go about dealing with the legal situation and stuff.
I think it's really good to know people who know people. I mean, that's how I got my lawyer. It just so happened that there was Occupy Venice had an event. They had like a sleep out supporting houseless people in Venice Beach, and I guess my lawyer happened to be there giving like a legal training, and he was there when everybody found out I got arrested. So like everyone's like, hey, she needs help. So that was really good to just know people like through networking and having a good reputation. But he's from the Lawyers Guild, so I've heard a lot of good things about the Lawyers Guild, and he has a really good reputation with activism, like civil rights. He's a civil rights criminal lawyer, so that's awesome. But it's good to just like ask people, you know, hey, do you know a good lawyer? I don't know any like pro bono lawyers, so you know, fundraisers and things are good for that. So
definitely. So crowdfunding really makes a lot of sense. And then one thing that I've done, and you know, anybody that's in this line of work, anybody that's an activist or a journalist that's out there listening, you know, we're going to be at one point or another, there's a very good chance that you're going to get arrested and you may be charged with some trumped up charges like Patty is. And it's good to be prepared for that. So, you know, here in San Diego, like I already know the people at the ACLU, just because I know that in the future, if something happens, I want to have that number in my phone so I could send a text and say, hey, here's what's going on. I need your help. So if we're in this line of work, it's good to like line that stuff up beforehand. I've also heard great things about the Lawyers Guild. I know they helped out a lot of the people in Occupy Wall Street here in San Diego. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's another great group to contact besides the ACLU. Patty, is there anything else you want to talk about before you go?
There was just one more point. It's really hard to get justice in the court when the district attorney and the cops have a symbiotic relationship. So as far as like police brutality, I mean, the reason why we're not getting these cops convicted is essentially boils down to that the people who are in charge of convicting the cops are the district attorney. And a lot of people who sat in on the Kelly Thomas trial said, quote, it was a limp dick prosecution. So
yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what also happened in Ferguson, right? It was like the prosecution was like a complete joke. Like they weren't even trying to get these cops indicted.
It was like they're the puppet show. Like, oh, they want an indictment. Oh, we'll give them an indictment. Okay. No, what you need is to ask for is a conviction. You need to not demand an indictment. You need to demand a conviction.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's so frustrating about this whole thing is it's just rife with injustice. And the people that really committed the crimes walk free. The people that were standing up for for justice are getting thrown in jail. I mean, it's just it's an absolute slap in the face. Anyway, make sure you guys check the Anti-Media Facebook page a few minutes after the show is over. I'm going to post the link. Please support Patty. Whether you can get down to Fullerton or whether you can just donate $5 or $10, that would help a lot. Thanks, Patty, for everything you do. Thanks for helping us out at the Anti-Media, and we'll see you soon. We'll have you back on the show, and I'll see you online.
All right, thank you, Patty. Love you too. Bye.
Oh man. So we're talking about. I mean, to me, this is a full-on assault on the press, and. This, especially with this news about Brian Williams and how the press is lying and all this crap. I mean, dude, if the cops want to go mess with someone, how about they go arrest the people that are lying to everybody? You know, and I'm not even for forcing people to tell the truth. But I mean, let's get real. Where are the real criminals? We're talking about journalists that are doing their civic duty, that are supporting justice, and these people are getting locked up, threatened to. You know, when one thing Patty forgot to mention. Is that when they got locked up, the cop in the when they got put into this van and they got put into this unmarked van en masse, and the cop said that they've got like 8 cops waiting for them at the jail to kick their heads in when they get there. I mean this is what happens when you're standing up for justice now in this insecure police state. And while I think it's a really scary thing that the government is acting this way and being so hard on the press and so hard on people that are out in the streets and people that are out there calling for justice, I think it's also a sign of despotism. you know, and they're starting to see, oh, damn, there's like a lot of people starting to make a ruckus out there. We better start, you know, brutalizing a few people so that we can scare them back into line. And, you know, of course, that's the old way of thinking, this old heavy-handed way of thinking.
They should know by now that doesn't work. Look what's happening in all the countries where we're indiscriminately bombing with drones. We're making 10 times the terrorists. And now if Patty Beers goes down, it's going to galvanize people to actually do things now. You hate to say it because what if anarchy breaks out? Oh, no. But maybe people have to do things now to kind of just break this crappy system up. If she can't get justice, what happens if they nab anybody for anything?
Exactly. And now we have another caller on the line from 619. Is that you, Kathy?
Yes, Kathy from United Against Police Terror.
So we have Kathy on the line from United Against Police Terror, and she's an awesome activist here in San Diego that organizes a lot of events against the police state and against injustice. And so we're right on this topic right now as well. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of PM Beers and, of course, Fullerton and Kelly Thomas. So I guess we could start off with, I kind of want to get your opinion on this whole situation going on where, the live streamer that was, one of the live streamers that was at the Kelly Thomas protests, is now facing up to 6 months in jail. What do you think about that?
Oh my gosh. It's a total violation of that person's First Amendment right. You know, I want to refer back to the individual who, video recorded Eric Garner's death. Which they had every right to. I know that they were charged with something. I know that they weren't charged with the actual act of filming, but it's amazing how one can practice their right in a public space and somehow be criminalized for it. It's one of the most valuable weapons that we have, and I, you know, much appreciation, you know, to that streamer. You know, really tough job to stream because I know that police look at streamers. I mean, it's one thing of recording, but once you stream, they know that this information will be saved. I can't stress enough for people to download streaming software, download applications where they can film encounters with police to be saved to an additional database to protect the memory.
Exactly. You know, I think the citizen journalism now, especially with what's going on with Patty, is so important because they're trying to crack down on it. And one of the things Patty mentioned was that they're treating a lot of these live streamers. They just go and finger point and say, oh, yeah, these are the people leading the show. Arrest them. So they're really, really trying to go after the press because these cops obviously don't like being documented.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this reminds me of the Oizanapa, the 43 students who were going to do a demonstration that were going to call out the president, and they have disappeared since. It's the same state corruption where they're trying to silence people, trying to bring forth injustice. You know, it's the same thing that, you know, with any kind of whistleblower, anybody to, and it's amazing how horrendous some of these circumstances are, and then have somebody actually bring that to light and bring forth justice and how they get criminalized for it and worse. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, whistleblowers in the police department. They're not police officers anymore once they speak out. I mean, they're kind of public enemy number one. I think that's the reason why there are no real good cops. They're not cops anymore. You know, it's terrible that somebody's life and somebody's well-being and their own autonomy is threatened for practicing that. You know, it's interesting that, you know, on a very smaller scale, and I want to say this is extremely petty, but, you know, some activists getting filmed by police once they leave the area of City Heights, or, you know, a captain saying that I am responsible in case anybody else gets out of line because I am the organizer. So, and we're talking, you know, one person being responsible for 100-something people. And it doesn't sound, I want to know what the legality behind that is, but, you know, it's part of that intimidation. They're trying to silence. And, you know, independent media is so important. We need to create our own media, and it's still happening. It's done wonders for Black Lives Matter. It's done wonders for the Palestine the genocide that's going on, to bring that awareness, because the other media doesn't have that intention.
Yeah, that's the price of having a hot profile like DMB, for instance. Also, Kat, I remember that incident with Kat up there in San Diego, and she's become high profile activists like myself. So, I mean, of course, the cops are going to know who we are, you know? So, what's up, Kat?
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, I think that it's very much a, if we look back, like, historically, you know, every movement, every revolution, there's always, like, a provocation, and then there's always, like, an overreaction, you know, so if you look back at, like, the civil rights movement in you know, the late 50s, early 60s, you know, there was some provocations, and then there was an overreaction by an insecure institution, which was the government. And then that spurs more people to do more things. And so, like you were mentioning, the Mexico 43, the students that were taken by the government, they're still pretty much yet to be found for sure. But basically, you know, these are these old tactics, these old heavy-handed government tactics. If you look back at, like, the birth of the U.S., it was like, you know, the Boston Massacre, and then everyone's up in arms because the British slaughtered a bunch of people. These are it's like these guys have never learned, they haven't learned their lesson. You know, they keep going on and on with these heavy handed tactics, trying to go and directly imprison journalists and stuff. But every time they imprison one, you know, 10 more pop up in their place, as DB was saying. And that to me is what's really, you know, really important. And
they haven't adapted to the internet, Nick, and that's a good thing. And that's why everyone says we have this window right now. But we don't take advantage of this window, pretty soon it's going to be shut.
So, you know, here in San Diego, we got this big problem with the police and police violence, police racism. And Kathy is actually one of the organizers here that really, really is doing a lot of these protests and organizing and leading. And we wanted to bring you on to talk about what's coming up here in San Diego. I know there's a big protest on Friday. What's it all about, and how can people find it?
Yeah, well, if you go to uaptsd.org, it's going to list basically what our mission is, the campaigns, current campaigns. One of the campaigns that we have is Justice for the Documented Stolen Lives by San Diego Law Enforcement, by every branch of San Diego Law Enforcement, whether they be while in custody. I know that recently there was the Death in Custody Reporting Act in 2013, which is awaiting Obama's signature, and that it mandates receiving federal criminal justice assistance, well, basically just bringing visibility to police departments when this happens. Unfortunately, it's way too late. There really is no public tracking of misconduct unless police brutalities are recorded in media, social media. So we use caution when we say we documented 225 local cases of victims murdered by San Diego Law Enforcement Border Patrol while in police custody and jails. We aim to restore dignity by empowering victims or the victims' families to seek justice in whatever fashion that they choose to. So the event on the 13th is Justice for Victor Ortega. This was a man who was shot while he was cuffed and in compliance with the officer, and a judge, after so many different avenues the families took. They found inconsistencies with the story of the DA and the story of the cop, Jonathan McCarthy. So we aim to gain visibility and demand that that the district attorney, Jimenez, actually stick by her promise to reopen the case. So these Stolen Lives marches are going to be once a month. And we are, you know, reaching out to and empowering victims as much as we can, but making sure that, you know, they're safe in whatever advocacy we choose, because I know some of them have gotten a lot of retaliation because of speaking out, unfortunately. So we want to mobilize communities to stand up. I mean, Ferguson is in San Diego, and this has been going on. We have I think the first documented case was back in 1986 with Karen Knott. So we demand that, you know, these stolen lives cases are reopened. We want to know the status of each officer involved, because there have been many officers who've been involved in more than one death, to do an early warning system so that individuals know which officers have committed what. We want transparency. That's the demand. We want transparency. We want, you know, community oversight for a citizens review board. We want it independent from, you know, we definitely want it independent from police. And, you know, the Victor Ortega case is a perfect example of that.
And, you know, that's one of the things these cops are so afraid of, too, is the independent review board's transparency. We saw what happened when the NYPD, I forget when it was, I think it was back in the 90s, there was actually NYPD riot because the city was trying to place a independent review board against them so that they could investigate, you know, cases of misconduct and internal, you know, workings of the NYPD. I mean, these cops literally rioted. So, you know, these guys are afraid of transparency, you know, because if we started to see transparency, then we would start to see justice for their actions. And obviously, with the case of the cops that killed Kelly Thomas, as Patty was saying, the prosecution was completely, you know, soft. They had no intention of actually indicting these cops. It was just a softball prosecution. And that was basically it, you know. So, you know, I think it's really important, and I'm glad that you really brought up some of these solutions and these ideas that we can, you know, start to implement to reel in this police misconduct. Because everybody pretty much knows that something is wrong, but not that many people know what we can do about it. So I think that's a really important point. And before we let you go here, are there any other organizations and stuff that anyone listening should follow if they want to know about more of this, you know, fight for justice here in San Diego?
Absolutely. I'm also a member of the San Diego chapter of Black and Pink. We do advocacy around LGBTQIA identified prisoners in the prison industrial complex. And I'm also a member of Affirm San Diego, which we are attacking what the carceral consequences of more police involved. It doesn't equal women's rights and women's liberation. So different campaigns that we're working on is police domestic violence, which is twice as high as the population, general population, police sexual assault, and advocacy around survivors of police assault. Like, where do they go to when their perpetrator has a badge and is protected under a Bill of Rights? Other initiatives, school to prison pipeline issues, gang injunctions, curfew sweeps. So again, you can go to uaptsd.org or affirm, AF3IRM.org. And there's also an action on the 22nd, having a vigil for all the youth that have been killed by police violence. So, We're hoping to just bridge like a really strong Ferguson in San Diego. We're not going to let this Ortega go. We're not going to let Angel Gonzalez go. You know, these were citizens of our society. So it's important. All their lives matter. Black and brown lives matter. So,
Kathy, thank you for calling in. I'm sure we'll see you out there on Friday at the action. And we look forward to having you back on the show sometime soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. And again, uaptsd.org. We're looking for people to make a change, make a solid change. We abolish the police. We don't need them.
I agree. Awesome. Make sure everyone checks it out. That's the end of the show here tonight on the Anti-Media. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Manny, thanks for calling in. DB, have a good night. Everyone else that called in we couldn't get to, sorry about that. Catch you guys tomorrow, 5 days a week.
Good night, Nick. Good night. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.